Start early. When you start in the morning, start with the thing that is most important and that you kind of procrastinate. Just don't give yourself any excuses. Create rituals around the things that you want to do more and on a regular basis, and reward yourself for it.
Right. There's plenty of information out there, right? To your point, it's like we all see something on procrastination probably on a weekly or monthly basis. So it has to go beyond knowing what to do. Hello, and welcome to The Step Up, expert voices for leadership growth. I'm Kent Knebel, your host. Every week I talk to experts who focus on helping leaders step up their leadership game. If you're new to the show on whatever device you're on, I encourage you to like, follow, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode. And one last thing, as a leadership development consultant and coach, I have a particular passion for leaders who have been newly promoted internally. If that's you or a leader you support, I encourage you to go to kent.coach/playbook to download my free 90-day success blueprint. It's 20-some-odd pages of practical advice for the internally promoted leader on hitting the ground running and stepping up your new leadership game at your new level. Without further ado, one thing I wanted to talk about today is procrastination. And with me today is Jürgen Bank, world-class procrastinator, consultant, and coach. I've known Jürgen for about, we met 15 years ago at PDI, and when we were both working at PDI, which was then purchased by Korn Ferry, Jürgen's been a consultant and a coach for a little over 20 years, started in Germany before he came to the US. And so before I end up telling all of his story, turn it over to you, Jürgen. Welcome. Really glad to have you. Thank you for agreeing to be on the show, and would love to hear your career story as we get started.
How do you know that I'm qualified in procrastination? World-class procrastinator. It's true. I do procrastinate as well. I have been doing that. That's one of the reasons why I thought it might resonate with our audience. And I'm also working with people who have been procrastinators or have been suffering from their procrastination. I don't think there's a fix to like never procrastinate. But you can get comfortable and you can channel it. So we'll talk more about that, I believe, later on.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me, how did you get started in consulting, coaching? What led you into this? How did you get to the other side of the camera here today?
My focus was always on people and not having a boring job. That led me... I mean, truly, it's like my biggest fear was I end up in a job where like I'm bored with the shit I have. Sorry, with the stuff I have to do every day, and I thought that would be the worst. So I decided psychology is probably interesting, and like there's always people, and people are always different and quirky, and so that's my way out. And on that trajectory, I got into leadership training. Was like front of groups for years. Then we added some more qualified psychometrics, how to understand people through questionnaires, how to help people understand what they don't know, where they're not good. Like what we did at what then became Korn Ferry was simulate leadership situations where we could, as experts, not experts in leadership for everything, we were not better leaders than these people. They were pretty distinguished, but in that situation where we put them in, they would struggle and we would be comfortable because we studied that situation for a while. We simulated that situation and then we could give them the readout. Listen, somebody who's really strong in strategy would have done this and this and this, and you kind of omitted that and you jumped right into action. For example, that would have been like a very concrete feedback to a simulation exercise that we did back then. Mm-hmm. In recent years, I've focused on helping people on the next step after the training, like really bridging the gap between, I know this is how it is, and why am I not doing it in the job every day?
Right.
And coaching is really the tool where that translation happens and where we discover like what's actually in between you understanding and you doing what you really want to do.
Yeah. So I think when we met, you were doing a lot of assessment design. So kind of both structurally from a what are we measuring, how are we measuring it, how does that all come together to a final picture? And I know you've done that at a more than just one consultancy. So what did you like best about that world and how, what's been the sort of transition over, because it seems like you do a lot more coaching now. So what's that evolution been like for you?
So I was, before I came to PDI Korn Ferry, I was with SHL, which is a global provider of assessment and survey products. I found most interesting. So they have this questionnaire. It's called OPQ, Occupational mm-hmm. Personality Questionnaire. And the differences between different nations. So the intercultural differences of this. So we use the same survey, translated into all kinds of languages and making sure that items are actually the same, and that kind of worked out. But then the norms were different. So like the expression of I'm interested in sales is different with the same questions in Italy versus Germany. And then like the intercultural stereotypes sometimes apply, and sometimes it's surprising how things are different. And in particular, if you go into Asia, where there is are very different cultural impacts. So my trajectory is like, let's keep my job not boring, was completely satisfied, even when we looked into statistics and very different. Sophisticated analytics. I also discovered the boundaries of those statistics and the limits of what you can say when you have a good survey result.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that? Tell me more.
I mean, only because the counselor or your leadership development person now understands what your profile is, and that's true for any kind of personality inventory result. That doesn't really predict what you do in specific situations, and that doesn't track how you change. So there, I do believe there is a change in behaviors, and like in the personality environment, we say every 2 years you should like redo it. Then you don't see much difference because the items are designed for high reliability. So they kind of very conservative.
Yeah.
And you don't see the change.
So I was the non-psychologist in the room at PDI and Korn Ferry. So I was, you know, trained as a practitioner under all of the psychologists there. And what I like that you said, because it was true for me in my experience, was personality assessment might say this about you. And then when we would do the simulations, it just was always fascinating to me to see how people actually showed up. Now, and that's still a simulation, right? So is that even actually how they show up truly on the job? Probably pretty close. But the number of times that I saw someone show up in a way that the personality inventory would have said they would have done the opposite, I just thought that was fascinating. I found myself to not be a personality purist just through my own practice, because I think my own feeling on that was adults, as they grow and learn and have goals in life, maybe start to make some conscious choices about how they're going to behave in order to get to those, you know, the outcome that they're really looking for. So it's just interesting when you were talking about, you know, personality and sims, and as well as life changes, right? So I think what you're saying is, a personality assessment shouldn't change dramatically over time, but there is a window where you probably should reassess. Or if there's like, for me, I'll give you just a quick example. I took the Hogan probably 3 years apart, 2 or 3 years apart. I took it as a higher, you know, pre-hire assessment. And then maybe a year later or so, I took it when I was training to be certified in it. And between there, someone very close to me went through a cancer journey, right? And it was very close to home. It was, you know, and I probably took the assessment in the middle of them going through various surgeries and chemotherapy and things like that. And my results were a little different, not wildly different, but I had maybe three derailers the first time I took the Hogan. And the one I noticed right away is I had like four or five derailers when I took it the second time. So I just would be curious as the psychologist in the room, you know, what are your thoughts or reactions to that?
That is exactly what you expect from a self-report instrument. I mean, how you describe yourself has to do with how you think about yourself. And that is vastly influenced by the moment you're in when you take it. So it's like, it's not necessarily the weather today, but if somebody close to you goes through a life-changing experience, that impacts you, and it should impact you.
Yeah.
What I'm really interested in, and like what our leadership development in the end wants to achieve, is a behavior change in the workplace. So it's not really how you think about yourself that's necessary for change, but you can think about yourself differently and report yourself differently and still act very similar because you don't really know how to do it. You just want to think that you're different now. So how others describe you, and the executive coaching is very often the situation, like others say this person has like a dark spot, something unknown in their self-concept, and they need to like fill that in. And then helping that person discover that is a big task. The Hogan is blind to that because the Hogan only sees what you say you are like.
Yeah. Well, and even if it is to be an assessment of likely reputation, then to bridge from somebody taking the assessment to, so what do you want to do with this? And what do you want to work on from here? I find that's always a slight challenge too, is getting someone to go from looking at the wavy lines and colors and the fun bar graphs of any assessment to then saying, so what do you want to do with this? Right. So, because it can be really easy for people to look at their assessment results and say, well, I should work on the worst scores. Right. And it's like, well, maybe, but what's happening, right? What's happening for you on the job?
By the way, considering the Hogan, so my derailer is mischievous.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
And it's like, I'm sorry, that's not a derailer. That's my strength.
Right.
That's my superpower. Yeah. I am creative. I'm spontaneous. I'm so crazy that I disrupt my own scripts all the time, which is actually a strength. And if you take that out, I bore myself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, probably a strength in 90% of the time, right? But does it get you in trouble ever, right?
It does.
Yeah. So let's make the leap here to procrastination, right? So tell me about what you've been doing from a coaching perspective or thinking about or working on when it comes to procrastination.
So what's the cure for procrastination? Just to put it in context, people who come to me and like some of their aspects is procrastination, where they want to get better, they know the Eisenhower matrix, you know, like do what's urgent and important. You do that now. And what's important, but it's not that urgent, you can wait. That can wait till tomorrow. If it's not important, but you need to make a decision, like what dressing you want to on your salad, it's not that important. So somebody else can make that decision. So, and my favorite is if it's not important and not urgent, you don't need to do anything. Just like let it die. Like, should I close the window in the other room? Like, I don't know. Yeah. Doesn't care. Don't need to make that decision. They also know setting micro goals. I mean, that's all the stuff that comes out of leadership development.
Mm-hmm.
If this is too big for you, make small commitments, make a plan for the day, start early. When you start in the morning, start with the thing that is most important and that you kind of progress, and I just don't give yourself any excuses. Create rituals around the things that you want to do more and on a regular basis, and reward yourself for doing. So they know all of that. So they're not coming to me to hear my knowledge.
Right. There's plenty of information out there, right? To your point, it's like we all see something on procrastination probably on a weekly or monthly basis. So it has to go beyond knowing what to do.
That's right. So Ken, I want to do an experiment with you.
Okay. I'm game.
Ken, I want to like demonstrate how coaching works with you. And okay. We want to assume that procrastination is something you would like to work on. Now that we haven't talked about that beforehand, it's not scripted or anything.
Yeah.
But let's just assume you want to work on your procrastination. And I also assume that you know what procrastination is in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you recall a situation that's shareable on this podcast where... Yeah. You were procrastinating.
Yeah, I would call it maybe strategic procrastination. So I can think of right now, right? I have probably given myself too much runway from a project planning perspective on building out a learning module for a client, right? I've known about needing to build this learning module for 6 months. It's not needed for even another month. I probably could have done it over the last couple of weeks. You know, it's due to my client early next week, very doable, and I will probably wait until the last minute to do it just in time.
So
is that worth it? Is that workable?
It works. Sounds very workable. It's like, I mean,
okay,
we all can relate to this. It's like, yeah, there's like a long-term thingy. It's not urgent yet. Eisenhower. Yeah, let's wait.
Yeah. Yes, right. I'm waiting until it hits the urgent quadrant.
So it's a learning module that you want to design, and it's still 1 month out. When do you think you should do it?
I mean, I should have done it any day this week already, and come Monday it'll become urgent, and I will be doing it on Monday, even if that means I'm taking my laptop to bed with me.
So you will do
it. I should do it this afternoon, or I should do it tomorrow while it's a little less urgent.
So you will do it on Monday, maybe.
Most likely, if I don't make time for it today or tomorrow.
Okay, so we're joking about it a little bit because it's kind of real, but it's also a little bit pretend. But it's real. So is this a pattern that you see in your life? More than once.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I work, I have thought this multiple times in my life that, man, I get a lot done when the heat's on. I don't think I create the fires, unless you would call this creating a fire. I don't know that I create the fires in order to fight them, but a little pressure prompting, I think at times can bring out the best in me.
Okay, so kind of like it, like to be in the hot room.
Maybe a little bit. If I had to be really honest about it, maybe a little bit.
And can you think of any disadvantages of doing it like this?
Yeah. It is a little stressful. Sometimes that stress can be fun and sometimes not. And if I were to think about the times where I've never regretted working ahead on things, right? If I work ahead on things, then life can happen in between. And then it doesn't become stressful when I've waited until the last minute, but then also the furnace goes out that day too, right? Like, so I have plenty of experience working ahead, and I know that I enjoy that experience better. I know that I sometimes enjoy the last minute, but I'm sure that my general well-being and enjoyment would be better if I just consistently worked ahead.
Yeah. What other advantages can you think of like working ahead a little bit?
Yeah. More time for review, right? So more time to refine and make it better. I'm trying to think in this case, what's the other advantage? I mean, it would invariably in our line of work, things come up all the time. That's like, oh, here's a juicy opportunity to sink my teeth into. Now I've got to put that off for another day because I still have to get this thing done. You're right. Or it's like, it's a call you can't take because you've got to make time for this thing, or something you now can't do because you still have to make time for this thing.
Okay, so another disadvantage is you can't actually react to unpredicted needs.
Yeah, other unpredictable needs.
Because you're already on the critical path for this one.
Yeah, yeah.
What have you tried to disrupt this pattern?
Creating project plans, which I used to hate doing. Now as an independent consultant, I love doing it because it gives me line of sight to all the things that I'm supposed to be making time for. So that works. Blocking out time. Now my podcast recording schedule is getting in the way for probably the next month or so, but I basically close down Mondays on my calendar. And, you know, this is going to be design day, you know, desk work day. And that, until I opened up my calendar for podcast recording on Mondays, I had been doing a pretty good job at minimally holding the day and maybe 60% of the time utilizing the day as intended.
All right.
Yeah.
So you've done something that it doesn't really seem like a life-threatening or career-threatening situation right now. It's still kind of toying with it. It's like maybe a little bit improvement, but not too much. What would Super Kent do? Like in your ideal version, what would be your way of dealing with the long-term development of the learning model for this client versus all the other things?
I mean, I probably should put it on my calendar like any other meeting, like the things that get in the way, which is things on my calendar, right? So that would probably, Super Kent would probably get a bit more diligent about not just knowing and having it on a to-do list, like roughly when is this due? And that probably means I need to work on it next week. Super Kent would probably put that on his calendar so that a meeting didn't get put there. And then that time was dedicated and happened. Which was sort of the intent of the Design Mondays, but I didn't put anything other than the giant block to keep things away.
Okay.
Design Mondays. Yeah.
There's actually already a micro action that we can actually, I can ask you in the next step, like, okay, can you create that action for yourself of the things that you really want to do? So Monday 9 to 11:30.
Yeah, I still haven't. I have my Outlook is open still, Jürgen. Fine. I'm putting it on my calendar for tomorrow.
All right. So you do it for Jürgen. Now that's usually not how coaching is effective.
That's a really good point, and I should probably just put it on my calendar and get it done.
What else? Okay, fantastic. So this one is improved.
You joke, but I don't know that I would have put that on my calendar without an intentional conversation with someone, right? That's making me stop and pause. So jokingly, you know, you said I'm putting this on the calendar for Jürgen, but truly I think the magic here is the permission for me to pause and talk about the issue. And that in and of itself is prompting me to do something about it.
And the next step is, how can you do this on a regular basis? How can it become a habit? So one thing of looking at it is like, what were the hidden benefits of not doing it? So
we've both lived the life of like planned out days to the nth degree. So one of the benefits is I do it when I feel like versus when someone or something is telling me to do it. So it allows me this easy breezy life.
Okay, you don't really want to be scheduled, not by yourself, and certainly not.
And yet, if you looked at my calendar, you would say that seems to fly in the face of what my calendar actually looks like.
Yeah, but I take your laugh as a confirmation. You don't like it. Like if you can avoid it, you can avoid it. So how can you make it more fun to schedule yourself and not feeling scheduled?
I mean, I do like when I work ahead. That is for sure. So that is fun. But maybe I could think of some way to treat myself, right, if I work in this way.
Maybe you can whether find that's something to treat yourself with. That's an interesting thought.
Yeah. Love it.
All right. Maybe let's stop this exploration. But that's how coaching works. It's like, I don't know how to solve your problem. I have no idea. I know exactly what you know. And sometimes I know a little bit more because like somebody's not Kent and has read everything I read. Yeah. But that is not the source for the coaching, but the coaching kind of mirrors things back. I want you to hear yourself say what you want to do.
Right.
Aha.
Yeah.
From your mind into your mind, that sticks and that sticks better.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it. Well, I think it's a really good, I don't know how many times I'll demo coaching on this podcast. I think that was a fun opportunity probably for others to see kind of how coaching works, let alone the topic of procrastination, which I think everybody wrestles with in some way, shape, or form. So as we move into, well, any final words about procrastination before we move into our final segment here?
Procrastination is like a simple term that applies to a million of different things that lie beneath. And I actually, that's something also for the audience, like for the self-improvement that is like easier than coaching because you can do it yourself. I mean, you can explore yourself. And if it doesn't work, go find a coach. But you can explore yourself, like what actually lies beneath my procrastination. So for you, one aspect was, I don't want to be locked in by my freaking Outlook calendar.
Yes.
There you go. There's also procrastination out of fear of failure. There is procrastination, fear of judgment. I don't want to be judged. Or procrastination, fear of change. All kinds of fears drive procrastination. So it's like there is, yes, schedule yourself and put it on the calendar and follow your calendar. That's how you do it. But you, in your mind, you need to overcome the hurdle that's before that.
Yeah. Interestingly, I would say a common theme for me in my life on something that makes me procrastinate is I can make a mountain out of a molehill in my own head, right? I can be like, oh, that's going to be this giant thing. It's going to take me hours and hours or days and days. And then when I finally, like, take making a PowerPoint deck. Like sometimes in my head, I'll make this into like, gosh, this is going to take me forever. And then I sit down and I pound it out in 30 minutes. Right. And, you know, and that's translated to other places of my life. Like I built a floating deck in my backyard that in my head, I made it this is going to take me months. It took me one weekend after I had it planned out.
Yes. So
yeah,
it's actually, there's two things. One, like thinking things, through in your head also, like especially when it comes to building decks, once you have a clear plan, you can do it in the afternoon. If you don't think it through for a longer time, that you build BS and you need to tear it down because like change your ideas and process. So it's like there is something said about the maturity.
Yeah.
So it's nothing wrong with thinking things through, and there are certain aspects in not doing everything right away. If there are specific patterns that really get in your way to do it to the degree that you're annoyed with it, face your fear.
Yeah, love it. Well, so hopefully this thus far has been interesting or helpful for our procrastinating listeners out there. So as we transition into our final section here of the podcast, so I asked you to prepare three things our listeners could take away, take action on in some way from today. So I'd love to hear about what those are.
Yeah. So number one was identify what lies behind your procrastination so that you can apply all the smartness from the leadership training.
And is that just as simple as stopping and asking yourself, what am I getting out of this? How am I benefiting from procrastinating? How do you recommend people get to the bottom of that?
I'm sure people were thinking about their own procrastination as I was asking you questions and like poking around and making you say the things that help you kind of get a little bit clearer about your procrastination. And it's that kind of dialogue, like probing it into it. And if you don't have a procrastination problem, it's not a problem. And if you don't get far enough and you're still like a horrible procrastinator and it gets into your career, into your performance, find a coach. Give me a call.
Yeah,
I'll get to how to get in touch with you later. Yeah. So number two, identify what lies behind your procrastination. Very important. Number two, give yourself permission to say no when you really feel this is not right. You need to protect your energy and your boundaries, especially in the corporate setting, but also the free spirits and in the entrepreneurial side. They just love to say yes. Do you want a biggie size? That yes, and ketchup. Yes, and like.
Do you want to catch up tomorrow? Absolutely.
Saying no doesn't make you selfish. It can make you effective.
Mm.
Find your focus. Pursue your focus. Protect your boundaries, and like what I do with people who come to me with that issue, things like. I can't say no to it. Yeah. Figure out what your boundaries are, then protect them. We can do an energy audit. Where does your energy flow? Is that really where you are? So let's catch up tomorrow. Is that like something where your energy kind of escapes?
One thing that I keep coming to in different coaching conversations is, well, let's not make a sea change. Let's just experiment with it. Like, can you say no one time this week? You know, can you just try it out once, right, and see how it goes?
Exactly.
Cool. And our third thing today.
Follow your path. Identify the demands that others put into you and be clear that's what they want and what and the end of the day, you are the master of your fate. Nobody can dictate. Well, okay. It's like if ICE tells you you're going to Guatemala, you're going. But that's force. I'm not talking about that. But you have permission to choose what you want when you go in the restaurant. Don't think about what other people want and other people's criteria for you. And that's liberating, and it's threatening because all of a sudden you're also responsible. You can't blame others anymore for your choices because you do what you want.
Yeah.
Many high achievers operate on these shoulds and desires. My boss wants me to do that. My teacher always wanted me to do that. I wanted to get straight A's, so I did exactly what they told me. And these shoulds don't get you to maturity and they don't get you to happiness. So I don't know what your shoulds are and what is you in this, but every person for themselves can start reconnecting to themselves and then discover their intrinsic motivation, what really drives them and what they really enjoy, and separate that from the external validations and clues that they receive in their lives.
Love it. I think what you said that is really true there is that it's liberating, right? And how much freer you can be and feel, and what does that open up for you? Love it. Well, so how can people get a hold of you if they want to work on procrastination or needing a leadership coach of any kind?
Well, I'm easy to find. So my name is Jürgen Benk. And I'm on LinkedIn, so you just search for Jürgen Bank, it's the last name. And you can also send me an email without any form. What I do is like a 15-minute, like figuring things out. It's like, where can we go from here? Is there something where we want to go? And it's like 15 minutes is enough to see, okay, what lies, is there something that beneath your procrastination that we can effectively address? And usually the issues are slightly more complex and the pain is harder than, I should have done it last week, but I'll do it next week, so I'm good. Yeah. So on LinkedIn, there's also this button. your story matters, let's talk. And then you can self-schedule a short meeting with me.
Nice.
And awesome. I really enjoy that. And it's actually, it's one of the things that fuel me. It's like, oh, there's people who come and have questions about their growth. And if we can do it in 15 minutes, we do it in 15 minutes, or we see what other options we see.
Nice. Awesome. Well, I'll make sure I include your website and LinkedIn or an email address in the show notes. So appreciate that. And so that brings us to the end of our episode today. Thank you, Jürgen. So I would encourage all my listeners to head on over to not only check out Jürgen's LinkedIn page, but come on over to my website. I made it as easy as possible from the old mouthful that my website used to be. So go to kent.coach. That'll bring you to my website. If you're interested in what should I do post-promotion, how do I effectively land my first quarter on the job, I continue to encourage you or if you're supporting a leader to head on over to kent.coach/playbook. Before you go on with the rest of your day, I do ask that you take a minute to rate and review this podcast. Preferably 5 stars. That helps put this in front of more eyes and ears, depending on the platform you're on. So Jürgen, thank you a lot for being on today. I really appreciate it. I know I got a lot out of it from my own procrastination journey, but I'm sure our listeners will as well.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Well, thank you to all the listeners. Appreciate your time as well, and catch you in the next episode. Take it easy. That brings us to the end of our episode. Thanks for listening. I'd encourage you to head on over to my website, kent.coach, and start a conversation with me there, or check out my promotion playbook at kent.coach/playbook. Before you go on with your day, I ask that you please take a moment to leave a rating and a review wherever you listen to podcasts. 5 stars. That helps put this podcast in front of more eyes and ears. Until next time, take it easy.